some people have is they want to show a bunch of forgiveness so that they can go and sin and say, well, wait a second, I forgive you, so just forgive me. Careful.
Right.
Because if you're forgiving for an ulterior motive to allow yourself to sin, now you're not really living according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Grace abound. Sin, where sin doesn't abound, grace does much more abound. Yes, I realize that. But is grace there to give us an occasion to sin?
No.
God forbid.
That's right. That's right.
Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Amen. Now, the third question. If you genuinely forgive someone, you should rebuild your relationship with that person. 73% of people agree. Not true.
No.
Now, you say, we're going to deal with that. I've seen one of these questions here in just a minute. So yeah, you're supposed to rebuild that. Well, hold on a second. We're going to stick with the Word on that too. The fourth question is, if you have really forgiven someone, you should be able to forget what they have done to you.
No.
66% of people agree. The biblical perspective is that each of these statements are wrong. Only 4% of respondents gave the biblical response to the questions. Among evangelical Christians, only 8% gave a biblical response to all questions. So these four myths identified above confuse the issue of forgiveness for many people. We're going to deal with all of those in the questions that we just had set out. Because it is vital that we have a biblical viewpoint, especially as critical of a subject is with forgiveness. Now you're going to say, well, I want to rebuild that relationship. And that's fine. You can. It doesn't mean that you can't rebuild that relationship.
Right.
But you've got to understand the concepts and the biblical perspective of forgiveness. A failure to understand the true nature of forgiveness will end up in a prolonged state of bitterness, ultimately leading to fear and doubt, unnecessary guilt, and it prevents you from receiving what God intends for you to receive.
Right.
You cannot continue. You cannot get what God wants you to have if you have this prolonged state of unforgiveness in your life.
Right.
It was mentioned before, and I'm going to mention it again. One of the things that we do is we ride this teeter-totter called guilt and blame. We're on a continual teeter-totter. How many of y'all remember that, being on teeter-totter? I was always the big kid. I was always the big kid. And I liked getting them scrawny ones. I went back there to go look for a 2x4 because I was going to get one of these scrawnier ones, and I was going to put it on the edge here, and I was going to stand on the edge of my 2x6 and let them sit with all their weight on the end of that. And I keep them balanced. I keep them up in the air. Because I'm a big kid. And but then I always like to jump off. And some of you all are anti-bully people, and you're all whiners. You understand, if you don't have some difficulties in life, you ain't going to be able to handle nothing. You may as well stay locked up in a room and die. Because life is unfair. Life is going to come beat you.
Yes.
If you don't learn how to deal with difficulty, you're going to be the biggest mamby-pamby.
Amen.
Better be careful. If somebody's going to get offended, then you'll have to forgive me.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, I don't have enough time to go.
And so I was that guy, but I did it always. I was always having fun. They weren't having fun. But it was fun to stand there and sit there on the bottom of that teeter-totter and see them laying there and they're kicking their feet. Put me down! Put me down! Put me down! Yeah,
until somebody else did it to me. Then when there was finally somebody that was bigger than me that did it to me, I didn't have so much fun. Right. Like, you know what? I don't like that. I don't like that. And that changed my perspective of that little scrawny kid up on the other end when I was there.
Right.
Because I didn't like it when it happened to me. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to scare him half to death. I'm going to let him go really fast, but I'll stop it at the end. And I won't let him crash and smash their tailbone into the back of their brainstem. I'll let him come down a little bit softer. But this is what we do in forgiveness. We ride this blame and guilt teeter-totter. As we're on that, if I was to jump off, you're dangling up in the air, and what happens? You crash, right? Boom. The only way you and your partner could ensure a safe landing was to get off of the seesaw at the same time, right? And the way nobody got hurt was, all right, you ready to get off? Okay, one, two, okay, boom, you rolled off. And everything was happy, right?
Right.
But sometimes it didn't happen like that, even whether you meant to or you didn't mean to. In the human mind, there's that side that has guilt and there's that side that has blame. The only way to keep the seesaw in balance is to make sure that you have enough blame to balance out your guilt.
Right.
So I'm guilty of sinning, right?
Right.
But I have to, in order to keep this balanced, I have to blame enough people to keep me in balance here. Because if I let everybody off, I'm crashing and hitting the ground with all my own guilt.
Right.
And that's no fun.
Right.
So I got to blame enough people to keep my own equilibrium. And that's what we do. Is, and so therefore, we cannot effectively know the power of forgiveness by just letting them off, but we also have to let ourselves off.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
You have to learn how to equally forgive yourself. The reason why many of us cannot forgive somebody else is because we can't forgive ourselves.
Right. Right.
And so to justify my sin, I have to continually point out yours to keep my equilibrium. I can't really forgive you because I'm still sinning.
That's humanity for you.
Right.
That is classic humanity. And so I'm going to continue to point my finger at everybody else's fault because I'm still doing. But until I repent and I get things right, I can let you go and I can say, forgive it to myself, and we can get off this crazy ride.
Right.
And we don't have to be miserable. And we don't have to be frustrated. And we don't have to be concerned with all of the things that go on. Our sense of self-preservation keeps us from forgiving. We don't want to grant forgiveness and be left holding the bag of personal guilt. So in reality, it is our guilt of our own personal failures in our relationships that prohibits us from forgiving others. If we do choose to forgive them, we will attach the blame to someone else in order to keep the emotional balance. Simply put, the more guilt you have, the more you blame others. The more guilt you have, the more you blame others. People that backslide, they want to blame everybody else. The problem is, they're guilty.
Right.
They're guilty, and so in order to soothe and ease their own conscience of guilt, they have to say, well, if he wouldn't have done that, and if she wouldn't have done that, and if they wouldn't have acted like this, and if they wouldn't have fallen here, and you see, a lot of times people backslide and they walk away from God because country fails.
Because Brother Alfred fails. Because Brother Sam fails. Because Sister Annabelle fails. Well, man, I thought that they were just, you know, I thought they were really living for God. And they did this, and so I'm just, I ain't living for God no more. They, are you serious?
Really?
I'm going to go to hell because he's going? How much sense does that make?
None.
I'm going to walk away. I'm going to blame. The problem is behind this closed door, I'm giving myself an excuse. Because I've got guilt, and maybe my door hasn't been flung open for everybody else to see. But because I got guilt on this side of my closed door, and he failed, I'm going to go ahead and bail now before my door gets opened and blame it on him. Because I'm guilty. And so you backslide and you walk away from God, blaming it on somebody else, not because of somebody else's fault, but because you yourself are guilty of sin that you can't forgive yourself on. And you can't get over and move on. So it's easier to blame somebody else to keep your equilibrium.
Well, sir.
Now let's be honest. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Man. One reason we hesitate to forgive people is that it's so much easier and it's so much safer to blame others for our problems than to blame ourselves.
You ever find that easy? I sat here just the other day. There was a situation at work even that happened, and the man I was working with said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I said, "It is not your fault. It's my fault." I said, "You can't take, well, I should have, no, I'm the one who cut the board, not you. You didn't cut it. Well, you don't have to, I said, no, I did it. It's okay. I'm okay with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking some personal responsibility and saying, I'm wrong.
Amen.
Come on.
I said, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm wrong.
Right.
And taking personal responsibility and saying, you know what? I made a poor decision.
Right.
I did something wrong.
Right.
And there's really nothing wrong with saying, would you please forgive me?
Right.
And do whatever it takes to make restitution or make it right.
Yeah.
Don't be so wise and prudent and arrogant that you do no wrong.
Yes.
I'm wrong. Now, if you keep on saying I'm wrong and you don't change it,
you're still wrong.
You're still wrong. Something needs to start changing after a while.
Yeah.
You can't just keep on doing wrong, and saying, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry. You keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
That has to. Now, if you did better than you did the last time, great. Okay, so we're still working on it.
Right.
And you do better than you did that last time that you failed on that thing. Great. Good. We're getting better.
Right.
You may not have totally succeeded in overcoming it all, but you're getting better. And that's the key.
Right.
But if you keep doing it over and over and over again, and you're not getting anywhere, something's wrong on the inside.
Right.
The only way to get off that seesaw safely is to remove your guilt and stop blaming others and say, all right, let's both get off of this at the same time.
Right.
You're forgiven. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm forgiven.
Yeah. Whew, man, that feels good. Yeah. And it busts my tail.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
The third thing, I can't give away what I don't have. Can't give away forgiveness if you don't have it.
That's right.
If you don't have it. It is basically impossible to give something to another person that you haven't fully experienced yourself. It's hard for me to say you're forgiven if I haven't experienced the tremendous power of forgiveness. The majority of people on the planet have never experienced this unconditional forgiveness from God.
Therefore, it's hard for them to forgive somebody else because they don't really know what it's like to be forgiven.
Right.
You don't possess forgiveness, you can't give it away. Only the forgiven can truly forgive. But wait a minute. That should mean that the church should be filled not only with forgiven people, but with the most forgiven people.
Amen.
That's what it should be.
Amen.
But why isn't it? Why isn't that the case? Often church people are the most unforgiving people. Well,
yeah, there's more judgmental people in this building than there are really out there.
Why? When we've experienced such a great amount of forgiveness ourselves. How can this be that I have such a struggle forgiving when I've been forgiven of so much? Many of us only have a head knowledge that God forgives, but haven't got a real experience of true forgiveness. And that's why you'll see some people that are so easy to forgive. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because they realize how much they've been forgiven. The people in this building that struggle with forgiveness the most are the ones that are lacking in the true understanding and experience of forgiveness. The ones that are the most judgmental, the ones that are the quickest and the easiest to point out a finger, are the ones that haven't experienced forgiveness. Because if you really experience forgiveness, what they did is inconsequential. Exactly. What they did is negligible. What they did
doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Yeah, man.
Because in light of what God's forgiven me, they're cool.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There was a story that was many years back, and I talked about this story, and it's got a great amount of power to it. There was a young lady that her sister was kidnapped and killed. And when they discovered her body, they didn't find the person, but the murderer and the kidnapper would taunt them with phone calls and tell them what they did and what he did to her and how he did this and so on and so forth. And it just drove them crazy. And then the letter that the girl that got kidnapped and murdered, she wrote a letter, her last will and testament, and the murderer had let her send it back to her parents and her family. And she wrote these things. I love you all so much. Please don't let this ruin your lives. Keep living one day at a time for Jesus. Don't worry about me because I know I'm going to be with my Father. Since that time, Sherry and Dawn, her sister, were little girls. Their father had always practiced taping scriptures, verses to their bathroom mirror for them to memorize. Now, in that moment, before she was to die, Sherry, the girl that was fixing to die, recalled one of those scriptures and she wrote it in the letter. Everything works out for the good to those who love God. With all my love, Sherry, is how she ended her last letter to her family before she was killed. And as the years went on, finally the man was apprehended. He got two death sentences, so on and so forth, as the story goes. He writes a letter to Sherry and asks Sherry to forgive him. He said, "I have found forgiveness, and I am so sorry that I ever did all what I did to your sister." He asked for forgiveness, And I got a question. How would some of you respond if somebody from prison wrote a letter like that to you after all that they did? There's some of us that immediately, and I don't have to be a mind reader to know this, but some of us would have said, oh, it's just jailhouse religion.
It's just, that it wasn't real. If you let him out, he'd go back and do the same thing. How would we really respond? Would we be able to forgive such a one as that? But as her sister was there, God brought this scripture to her mind, and that was, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And she says this, it wasn't easy, it wasn't overnight, but God did give me the answer through his word that I needed, to forgive him because Jesus forgave me. So she sat down and she wrote to him a letter telling him that it was only because of the grace of God and the forgiveness that he showed her that she could forgive him. There is an inseparable link between receiving God's forgiveness and granting forgiveness to others. You cannot separate it. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Everything in your relationship with God hinges on your ability to forgive. The more I read, study, pray, learn, get into the Word of God, every place in the Word of God, there's a thread that you can pull. In every place that reaches back to the forgiveness. Every place, in every situation, it has to do with forgiveness. The key to forgiving others is remembering how much God has forgiven you. It's difficult for you to forgive someone who has wronged you a little when God has forgiven you of so much. I'm going to stop right there. It's difficult. It's difficult for you to forgive somebody else when God has given and forgiven you of so much. Realizing God's infinite love and forgiveness can help you forgive and love others. This thing of forgiveness, I know some of you say, well, Pastor, you've preached this not just a year ago from these notes. I know I preached this a year ago from these notes, but I've continually kept in this vein for quite some time. I keep on coming back and preaching on it some more. Because repetition is good for us. And I can't live a fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. There's been things that happen to us on a week basis, on a day-to-day basis. Some of us is day-to-day. And it is an absolute training, learning, practicing over and over again. To forgive. And I would say that if every one of us was truly
honest with ourselves. Truly honest. There's some of us, I can tell you right now, that we have forgiven everybody that's easy to forgive. But there's oftentimes that somebody, that one somebody, that still is quite difficult to forgive because of what has happened, because of what has been said, because of what has been done. Whatever it is, as much as is in the Bible about being baptized in Jesus' name, about being filled with the Holy Ghost, about the oneness of God, let me tell you something, church, today, that the oneness of God, hear me, is pointless and meaningless if you don't have forgiveness.
Amen.
All of your tongue talking is pointless and meaningless if you don't have forgiveness. All of it. You can talk in tongues like a Chinaman, that like just maybe I should have said Chinaman. Sounds almost bad. But when you hear it, thinking you're so spiritual, but if you ain't got any forgiveness,
right?
You talk in tongues till you're blue in the face and you pass out, and it ain't going to help you. It will not save you. Are you hearing? As much as we must preach those things for initial salvation, Brother Miles, in order for us to initially be saved, now I'm preaching to us right now how to stay saved.
Right.
There are many of us, we've already experienced the initial part of being saved. But are we still saved? Because life has gone on, things have happened, disappointments have come, people have failed, offenses have come, all of that stuff. Are we still saved? Are we still saved? Question is, have you forgiven like Christ is forgiven? Like Christ is forgiven you. Would you stand? Because it takes... I am of the opinion, and I hope you hear what I'm saying, of the opinion that it's easier to do the initial getting saved than it is staying saved.
That's right.
Because man, that first time that you repent of your sins, God miraculously fills you in the Holy Ghost. Man, you're so excited. And all of us have experienced that in one place and said, man, you loved everybody. No, you didn't have no hurt feelings that day. But as you started walking down this Christian road, there were some other things that came down your road that you didn't so readily forgive. And some of us go, well, but you got to remember, even God, when he was thinking, man, I'd just kill him.
That's
just
right.
Some of you think, I just ought to kill him. Maybe I should look at y'all. I'd just kill him. He's bitter off. You understand that emotion came from God. I'd just kill him. And then he said, he remembered that they were but flesh.
That's right.
I ain't gonna kill him. That's just flesh. And made mistakes. And it's so much easier for me to forgive him than kill him. Huh? He didn't take away that desire. Oh, he's going to be so aggravated.
situation once and for all, and I'm going to forgive them. Boom. Done. And then he didn't only just say, he said, I'm not just going to forgive everybody in the future, I'm going to forgive everybody right here, right now, on Calvary. I'm going to forgive everything, all the way back to Eve and Adam. Now I'm going to forgive everything all the way to Clem Ashworth and to Josh Ashworth, Patsy. He said, now I've got it all. I'm going to forgive